because they're a raya to the order of the Dalet Parshiyos. Rashi, in the end of Masechta Megillah, brings a Yerushalmi that asks why Parshas Parah comes before Parshas HaChodesh. If Parshas HaChodesh is about the halachas of Rosh Chodesh Nisan, and Parshas Parah is about the Parah Aduma, which was done on Beis Nisan, so Parshas HaChodesh should have come first. And the Yerushalmi answers, Mipnei sheyesh ba taharasan shel Yisrael, because Parshas Parah has the purification of Klal Yisrael. So what does that mean? That's not new information. So I think it means, just bekitzer, I think it means that the idea of Parshas HaChodesh is the ability to renew ourselves. Just like the moon. Parshas HaChodesh is the mitzvah of being Mekadesh the Levana. Just like the moon is Mischadesh, it disappears into nothing. And then it comes back to life and it grows and grows to its beautiful former glory. So too, Klal Yisrael has the ability always to be Nischadesh. We have the ability to be Nischadesh. We have the ability to renew. But in order to renew, we have to be able to purify ourselves. The first step is to purify ourselves. That's Parshas Parah. And then we could start fresh, a new clean slate. And we could start new and we can build ourselves up again. And I was thinking that you have a raya from this pasuk. Lev tahar birali Elokim. Create for me, Hashem, a lev tahar. And after you create for me a lev tahar, then viruach nachain chadesh v'kirvi. Then a established ruach could be nischadesh inside me. It's mamish that order, Parshas Parah and Parshas HaChodesh. So I'm going to speak for 5 minutes about Parshas Pekudei, about the Binyan HaMishkan, but I wanted to start off reminding ourselves that this Shabbos is also Parshas HaChodesh, and it's as much as it's halachos of Kiddush HaChodesh, and you know, we haven't yet seen in our lifetimes a Kiddush HaChodesh, and we haven't seen Edim notice the new moon and hear Mekudesh HaChodesh, Mekudesh in Bezdin, but in our hearts, in our neshamos, we have the ability to experience Parshas HaChodesh. Because Parshas HaChodesh represents Klal Yisrael Armoinin Lelevana. We count, our calendar goes by the moon. The Umay Sa'ilim count by the sun, which is static, it doesn't change. But we count by the moon, even though sometimes it gets very, very tiny, but it's always able to renew itself. And that's the beauty of Parshas HaChodesh. Vayakel and Pekudei. I want to first say that Vayakel and Pekudei are two of the most boring parshiyos in the whole Torah. Okay? So basically, as everyone knows, they're basically a repetition of Truma and Tetzaveh. So if Truma and Tetzaveh is to build the Kalim and the Mishkan and the Big Day Kahuna, and Vayakel and Pekudei is, and then they did that. Right? That's why it's very little Rashi. If you have a sezer with Rashi, this is a breeze this week. Because they're like four Rashis. However, La'aniyos Daiti Nira, I humbly want to suggest that there's a segula. I know I don't say those words often. There's a segula in Parshas Vayakel Pekudei that we need. We need, us B'nai Torah, we struggle in life with the ups and downs. And we need Vayakel Pekudei. You know why? Because Truma and Tetzaveh is the plan. This is what I'd like you to build. We also have a plan. And we come to yeshiva with a plan. And we come to a zman with a plan. We have big plans. Is our challenge having plans? No, that's not our challenge. Our challenge is implementing the plan. Our challenge is bringing the plan to fruition. So this week, let's listen to Kriyas HaTorah with all our heart, with all our might, because Vayakel Pekudei is that they managed to pull off what Truma and Tetzaveh was talking about. They actually managed to create it ka'asher tziva Hashem es Moshe. Just like Hashem came again and again, the whole Parshas Pekudei. Ka'asher tziva Hashem es Moshe, ka'asher tziva Hashem es Moshe. They managed to pull it off. So if you're a person, and I suspect you are, if you're a person that has had big she'ifos, big dreams, big ritzonos, that you wanted big things, and you struggled to be able to bring them out l'maisa, what a week Vayakal and Pekudei is, that there's a two parshios in the Torah, that the entire chiddush of the parshios is that they did what they planned to do. Unbelievable. That's our parshios. This is our life, Vayakal Pekudei. I'm in love with Vayakal and Pekudei. It's not boring at all. I want to read every pasuk. I want to just get lost in it. I want to read again. Kasher tziva Hashem es Moshe. So they pulled it off. Exactly. They made the keli exactly as planned, because I have plans. And I beg HaKadosh Baruch Hu that I should be able to bring out my plans l'maisa. But there's one part of building the Mishkan that does not say Kasher tziva Hashem es Moshe. If you open Parshas Pekudei, towards the very end of the parsha, it says, mamish at the end by Maftir, it says that they put up the chatzar around the Mishkan, the courtyard around the Mishkan, and they put up the curtain, the masach shar hachatzar, they put up the curtain around the chatzar, the curtains that went in front of the openings of the chatzar. And that's the end. Vayechal Moshe es hamelacha. It doesn't say kasher tziva Hashem es Moshe. Now, in case you think that maybe, so it doesn't say kasher tziva Hashem es Moshe, that's not such a big kasha. I just want to quote to you, Pasuk Yotes ends kasher tziva Hashem es Moshe. Chaf Aleph kasher tziva Hashem es Moshe. Chaf Gimel kasher tziva Hashem es Moshe. Chaf Hei kasher tziva Hashem es Moshe. Chaf Zayin kasher tziva Hashem es Moshe. Chaf Tes kasher tziva Hashem es Moshe. Lamed Beis kasher tziva Hashem es Moshe. Do you think I have a kasha? How come this doesn't say kasher tziva Hashem es Moshe? It's a powerful kasha. I want to tell you something that's amazing about this. It's amazing and it speaks directly to us. Why was Bezalel called Bezalel? Someone? What? He was in the shadow of Hashem. What does that mean? What did he understand that made him, that gave him the name Bezalel? Exactly. Because Moshe told Bezalel, in the name of Hashem, to build the kelim of the Mishkan, and then to build the Mishkan, the actual oihel of the Mishkan. Bezalel is listening to this, and Bezalel says, Rebbe, it doesn't make sense. You don't benoyik sheba oilam. The way the world works is that first you build a house, then you make the kelim for the house. So why are you telling me first to make the kelim? Now, Rabbi say, people think that what Bezalel was saying is, what am I going to do with the kelim until I make the Mishkan? You like that kasha? It's a terrible, terrible kasha. Okay? Because when did they finish building the Mishkan? What date? What? They finished building the Mishkan on Chaf Hei Kislev. A very auspicious date. When did they put up the Mishkan?
First Nisan.
What?
First Nisan.
First Chodesh Nisan. Where were the kelim from Chaf Hei Kislev until Rosh Chodesh Nisan? Wherever they... No, not that was for 7 days.
In mesh garments.
But where were they for 3 months?
They were in their
coverings, in their garments. And probably stored in a shed somewhere, I don't know, in a tent. Wherever those kelim were, that's where they could be until you build the Mishkan. Like, what's the... They built the entire thing 3 months before. Like, what's Bezalel's kasha? Either way, they were storing everything. Bezalel's kasha, Rabbi say, was that it's not derech eretz. It's not normal. We don't do that. Benoyeg sheba oilam. It's not the derech. You don't buy furniture and then buy a house. It's not normal. That was Bezalel's kasha. I'll explain it a little better in a minute. So Rabbi say, can I ask you a question? Why not build the chatzar? And then the house, and then put in the kelim. Why was the Mishkan built? The Mishkan, the Kalim, the Chatzar. Why was it that way? I think it's a valid question. So I want to explain something here that I think is very, very, very important. And it's really, really, you what I'm going to say now in the next 5 minutes is like Ois Aleph, the beginning of a thought. Each one of you can take that thought and can enjoy it the whole Shabbos. You could think about where it fits in your life and what it means for you. Our lives are also a Mishkan. And the way we build our lives are a edifice of serving Hashem. And the first thing we need to do is build the walls of the Mishkan. What does that mean? That means that the first step in building a successful life is to make room for Ruchnius. And that room needs to be in the center. If I build my Mishkan at the very corner in the back of my room, that's not a Mishkan. The Mishkan means that the center of my life, I'm clearing in my emotions, in my Yishuv Hadas, in my desires. I'm clearing out that the center, the focus, the engine of my life is going to be used to serve Hashem. That's what I'm here for. That's why Hashem created me, and that's what I'm here for. Once I've cleared out space to serve Hashem, I could bring in the Kalim, and I could start actually serving Hashem. And that's what the Mishkan itself was. It was a place of serving Hashem. Now, once I do that, I could do something unbelievable. I could take my serving Hashem, and it could spill over into all the other parts of my life that are not directly Avodas Hashem. Like my job, like my family, like my house, like buying a car, like eating. There's so many parts of our lives that fall into the category called Divrei Rishus. They're not a mitzvah or an Avera. Okay, getting married is a mitzvah, but the running a family, they're Divrei Rishus. They're the part of life that's in a certain sense, it's outside of Torah, Tefillah, Tefillin, Mezuzah. You know, it's outside of the mitzvahs in our life. But are they unimportant parts of our life? Of course not. The putting up the Mishkan is the center of my life is serving Hashem. The chatzar, the courtyard of the Mishkan, represents the things that aren't the intense avodas Hashem. They're not the acts of serving Hashem like a carbon on the Mizbeach or the lechem apanim or lighting the menorah, but they're also affected by kavod shemayim, and it spills over. There are kalim in the chatzar as well. It's just not the main place of avoda, but there definitely are. There's a mizbeach out there, and there's a kiyar out there. There are kalim in the chatzar, but that's the area that allows space for the other things in my life. And the order is so particular. First, designate that the focus in my life is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then you'll be able to serve Hashem. That's the center. That's the focus. And once you do that, you could build a chatzar. You could take from the rest of the world and you could close it in to the world of Avodas Hashem. And it will be affected by the engine of your life, which is serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's why, this is the punchline. That's why it doesn't say Kasher Tziva Hashem Es Moshe. Because the Torah does not tell us how to do Divrei Rishus. The Torah tells us how to do mitzvahs. The Torah Shulchan Aruch tells us how to do mitzvahs and how to avoid Averos. But it doesn't tell us how to speak to our children or what kind of girl to marry or how to act in my job or how to build a house. Or all of these things that are part of my Divrei Rishus, that's what they call the fifth chelik of Shulchan Aruch. That's the sensitivities that we have to have. The sensitivities that go beyond the specific letter of the law, where the involvement in Ruchnius spills over, and I kind of understand what Hashem wants me to do. I kind of understand how I'm supposed to act. I kind of have a sense of the type of home that I want to build because I learn Torah, because I do mitzvahs, because I daven, and that will spill over into how I'll sit on the floor and play games with my kids on a Friday night and give them a great time and make them feel safe and happy in my home. It'll be a, that's my chatzer. Hashem never commanded you how to do that. The godless of a yid is that we're able to figure out what to do without kasher tziva Hashem es Moshe. So every other thing in the Mishkan, it says kasher tziva Hashem es Moshe. But when it comes to the chatzer, when it comes to what's outside of that, where you have to have that unbelievable intuition that B'nai Torah have, you know that thing? You know, like sometimes you're like, I don't know if it says anything about this, but this is just not right. I know it's not right. You ever have that feeling? Or, I don't know, it doesn't say that you're mechuyev to do this, but I feel obligated to do this. I feel like this is the right thing to do. My life of serving Hashem tells me that I should be there for this person, that I should make this phone call, that I should do this act of chesed, whatever it is. It doesn't say in the Shulchan Aruch, but I feel like it's the right thing. That's without kasher tziva Hashem es Moshe, that we intuit what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants. So let's pull together the package, Rabbi say, of this Shabbos. We are so lucky to have this Shabbos. This Shabbos is like HaKadosh Baruch Hu just takes a treasure chest full of gems and literally just turns it over on our heads. It's Parshas HaChodesh. It's an unbelievable opportunity of renewal. Ruach Nocha in Chadesh Bekirbi. It's Parshas Vayakel Pekudei. Let's have the Zuchus to implement all of our plans. And it's that last pasuk in building the Mishkan, by Yokem Es HaChatzer, where we take the power of our Avodas Hashem and we let it spill over into how I say, how I interact with the lady that's checking out my groceries in the grocery store, and how I interact with her, and how I go back and decide if I should give her back the money if she gave me too much money by mistake, and all of that, the areas where it says in Shulchan Aruch, if you want, you could do like this, and if you want, you could do like that. And I have a sense, I have a hergish, I have an intuition of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, even though there is no kasher tziva Hashem es Moshe. Hashem.